It's almost 10:15 now. Children in Niger, West Africa, are being forced to drop out of school, and there are fears food shortages may be an aggravating factor in girls being sold into marriage from as young as 7. That's according to World Vision UK, one of the world's largest overseas aid charities. This harrowing situation has prompted one Leicestershire woman to start a campaign to recruit an army of mums online to take action, raising awareness and money to help the 6 million people in Niger who are currently facing famine. Shanto from Market Harborough writes regular online blogs on issues to do with motherhood, and just over a week ago spoke to me about her forthcoming trip to Niger.
On early Monday morning, I'm flying off to Niger on a trip to Africa with World Vision.
All right, so what's the purpose of your trip then, precisely?
Within the next couple of months, Niger will officially be in famine, but we can do something to stop that if aid agencies start to listen now and governments start to release funding to stop the famine happening.
Okay.
So it's all about raising awareness now.
Well, Shan is back. She got back from Niger on Saturday. I caught up with her a little bit earlier this morning to find out how the trip went.
So last week I went out to Niger in West Africa to visit some of the World Vision projects that are going on over there. At the moment, Niger is in severe food crisis. It's a landlocked country that is surrounded by other countries that are in all kinds of political unrest, countries like Mali and Libya. So as well as its position of being landlocked, it's also suffering with a huge refugee influx from countries like Mali. So the limited food resources that are in Niger are stretched even further.
Now, you, as a blogger and somebody who uses social networking a lot and writes about being a mum, amongst other things, caught the attention of World Vision for your influential position online, which is why they specifically asked you to go out there, Sean, isn't it? Because Niger was voted in the world the worst place to be a mother.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, tell us precisely what sort of things you saw and what sort of experiences the people of Niger are currently experiencing.
I mean, the biggest thing is that you really can't. It's so far removed from what our lives are like here. There's people that are being forced to up and move 100 kilometres to visit to this gold mine, but it's a government decommissioned gold mine. So it's basically, it's almost empty, but people are being forced to move there to try, because it's the only way that they can work to earn money to get food, because the crops have so severely failed. They're now, there's no more food until the whole planting works again. You're coming up to the next harvest. So these people have got no money at all. And the gold mine is like nothing on earth. You could be on the moon. It's desolate, it's dusty, it's 50 degrees. And these people are working in shocking conditions in the searing heat. They are going down these tiny little mine holes and bringing up quartz crystal that they then smash to pieces to grind into little like sand. And they pull out tiny, tiny flecks of gold out of the quartz. It's a laborious process, and it is really, really hard work. They very rarely find any gold, but they've got nothing else to do. Mm. And these people they've literally got no money. They're living in rotten, it's not even a shack, it's just a few poles and some rotten mats wrapped around it. That's what they're living in. And they literally have nothing. They've left everything behind in their villages. But they know that if they hadn't left the villages, they'd be dead.
What age of the people are being forced to do this mining then, men and women?
Men, women and children.
And children.
Well, I've got some amazing pictures of these 13 and 14-year-old girls lugging these huge, big buckets of rocks. Another thing that was really shocking, one morning when we were driving out towards the mine, we saw a riverbed that was completely dried up, and there's groups of people on the riverbed digging holes. So we get out of the car and we go and walk down to the riverbed to see what they're doing, and they've dug 6-foot deep holes to dig down towards the water table. And they're collecting water from the holes that they have dug through with little bowls that then they're scooping into buckets and then they're carrying them back to their village. Mm. They drink this water. It's not filtered. It's not treated. That's how they drink their water. It's the only water they've got, and they're forced to dig 6 feet every morning to get it.
It sounds like hell on earth. I mean,
it's
difficult to imagine any fellow human being existing that way, really. And we it puts into perspective, doesn't it, some of the troubles and difficulties we believe we face on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had amazing support on Twitter. We've reached over 4 million people in the last week. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are some people who come back with negative comments, like, you know, we should be giving aid at home. But it's very easy to have these kind of scenarios as a them and us situation. But, you know, there isn't a them and us. There is only us. And, you know, we as fellow human beings, we owe it to help these people as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't know how lucky we are. We did a phone-in with a Skype back to a school in the UK with some of the children from this kids' club. Well, kids' club is a school. Out in Niger, and the questions that they were asking each other were quite amazing. The kids from Niger were asking the children in the UK, so what do you do about violence against children? And the kids in the UK are like, what?
Yeah.
Another question is, you know, what do you do about child marriage? How do you stop early child marriage in the UK? And the kids are like, we don't have early child marriage.
Mm.
And, you know, fighting against girls as young as 11 years old being sold we met a girl that was sold for 20 goats by her father into an underage marriage.
Right.
It's very, very humbling.
The other huge issue is, of course, the imminent declaration of famine, which will happen. It's imminent,
yeah.
You know, unless something can be done, you know, and we're talking global effort here to prevent it, aren't we? So, I mean,
we are. I mean, and it can have, you know, we can prevent it, but it's down to governments taking note now. They generally don't start to take note and start releasing funds and aid until it's too late. But if they start releasing, if we raise enough awareness now, those funds will be released, and we could stop. You know, we could stop it tipping into famine. So it's all about just keeping it out there. If people are on Twitter, tweet with our Share Niger hashtag. Every single tweet helps us raise awareness, and all of that will be going back to the government agencies so we can prove to them how much reach we've had and how people are listening.
Hmm.
So every little thing helps us.
You have had an astonishing response. As you said, World Vision have received communiques from all over the world and using Twitter and other social networks. The message appears to be getting out there and people are pledging support.
Yeah.
It needs to be a little bit more than that, though, doesn't it? Because talking about it on Twitter is one thing. Raising awareness amongst the public is one thing. But if that's where it stops, then nothing actually will change, will it?
Yeah, no. I mean, we are asking for donations as well, and people can donate to the World Vision West Africa Appeal by visiting the World Vision page, which is worldvision.org.uk/West Africa. And any amount of donation, you can donate £1, you can donate £2, you can donate £200,
mm-hmm.
anything. And, you know, it's every little help.
When you think back to the 80s and the harrowing reports filed from Ethiopia, which prompted the Live Aid movement and the national backing that Sir Bob Geldof and his colleagues got to get that movement off the ground. I mean, do you see something similar happening here? Because the situation isn't dissimilar, is it?
No, the situation's the same. It's exactly the same. You know, the situation is as dire now as it was in Ethiopia back in 1982-84. So, you know, I really hope so. Having seen the things that I've seen, it's, you know, these people, I mean, I said exactly the same thing when I went to Bangladesh. These people didn't choose to be born there.
Mm.
You know, that's just their roll of the dice. And, you know, they're people like we're people. They're mothers, their children, their fathers. And they deserve a chance at a decent life just as much as we do.
It's moving stuff, isn't it? And if you'd like to join the campaign, you can tweet or blog with the hashtag ShareNiger. And if you go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/WorldVisionUK, there's a lot more info there about how to get involved and donate. And my thanks to Sian for talking to me earlier this morning. It's 10:23 now.
Leicestershire's weather.
BBC Radio Leicester.
Well, another lovely morning, Kay, after a stunning weekend. How?